The Red Tent by Anita Diamond. Read by Eleanor Braun. We have been lost to each other for so long. My name means nothing to you. My memory is dust. This is not your fault, or mine. The chain connecting mother to daughter was broken, and the word passed to the keeping of men who had no way of knowing. That's why I became a footnote, my story a brief detour between the well-known history of my father, Jacob, and the celebrated chronicle of Joseph, my brother. Near the beginning of your holy book, there's a passage that seems to say I was raped, and continues with the bloody tale of how my honour was avenged. It's a wonder that any mother ever called a daughter Dina again. But some did. Maybe you guessed that there was more to me than the voiceless cipher in the text. Had I been asked to speak of it, I would have begun with the story of the generation that raised me, which is the only place to begin. If you want to understand any woman, you must first ask about her mother, and then listen carefully. The more a daughter knows the details of her mother's life, without flinching or whining, the stronger the daughter. Of course, this is more complicated for me, because I had four mothers, each of them giving me different gifts, cursing me with different fears. Leah gave me birth and her splendid arrogance. Rachel showed me where to place the midwife's bricks and how to fix my hair. Zilpah made me think. Bilhah listened. No two of my mothers seasoned her stew the same way. No two of them spoke to my father in the same tone of voice, nor he to them. And you should know that my mothers were sisters as well, Laban's daughters by different wives, though my grandfather never acknowledged Zilpah and Bilhah. That would have cost him two more dowries, and he was a stingy pig. Like any sisters who live together and share a husband, my mother and aunties spun a sticky web of loyalties and grudges. They traded secrets like bracelets, and these were handed down to me, the only surviving girl. They told me things I was too young to hear. They held my face between their hands and made me swear to remember. My mothers were proud to give my father so many sons, but women wanted daughters to keep their memories alive. So I was the one. My mother and my mother aunties told me endless stories about themselves. No matter what their hands were doing, holding babies, cooking, spinning, weaving, they filled my ears. In the ruddy shade of the red tent, the menstrual tent, they ran their fingers through my curls, repeating the escapades of their youths, the sagas of their childbirths. I can still feel how my mothers loved me, even after I left them, and even now, so long after their deaths, I am comforted by their memory. I carried my mother's tales into the next generation, but the stories of my life were forbidden to me, and that silence nearly killed the heart in me. And now you come to me, women with hands and feet as soft as a queen's, so safe in childbed, and so free with your tongues. You come hungry for the story that was lost. You crave words to fill the great silence that swallowed me and my mother's and my grandmother's before them. I am so grateful that you have come. I will pour out everything inside me, so you may leave this table satisfied and fortified. Blessings on your eyes, blessings on your children, blessings on the ground beneath you. My heart is a ladle of sweet water, brimming over. Selah. Their stories began with the day that my father appeared. Rachel came running into camp, knees flying, and launched into a breathless yarn about a stranger at the well. A wild man without sandals, who kissed her on the mouth, a cousin, son of their aunt, who had watered sheep and goats for her and told off the rough